Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah declaring the word.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, the scripture uses the phrase, ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Amen? It says, ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7. It says, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, of course, there is a lot of things it says before that. Unfortunately, this phrase encompasses a lot more people than it should, because truth that you know, that you have knowledge of, has got to be functional truth. Not truth that is in your head. It has got to be functional truth. Praise the Lord. And there's a reason why people always learn and never come to the full knowledge of the truth. So they know something. There's nothing new you're going to say, and they know it. But they never really come to a place where they know it. Now, there's a difference between knowing it and knowing it. Praise the Lord. The sad thing is, the more you learn about something and you do not come to the knowledge of that truth, the more you become resistant to it. And then what should have helped you, you start fighting against. And you actually openly fight against something which the first time you heard about it, you embraced it and you were excited about it, and it sounded like truth to you, and it was truth. But because you did not put it into action and test it, eventually it becomes distant truth, distant truth, distant truth. Then eventually you start actually resisting it. Praise the Lord. Now, I was talking to a friend of mine, and you were talking about how when we were just born again, somebody was born again even earlier than me. And I was talking about when we were just born again, how every time somebody got born again, the next thing they were speaking in tongues. In all the church, I'm not talking about in remnant circles. Why? Because it was being taught, and it was being made to look that you can't be born again and you're not speaking in tongues. Now, what happened is, and this is what always happens, people stopped teaching about it. And the teaching went in another place. Then, we got people who are born again and actually don't speak in tongues. But they desire to speak in tongues. Then, as time progressed on, they were not speaking in tongues and they did not have any desire to speak in tongues. Then as time progressed on, they started saying, but what is tongues? What is that rubbish you're talking? You see how it progresses. And eventually, they start saying tongues are of the devil. Like, don't think that all these things just happen. It is truth that was received, but not received. Amen? So if I talk about speaking in tongues today, and let's say tomorrow and the day after, and you still go not speaking in tongues, you're eventually going to fight it. You're going to resist that truth. Eventually, it's just a matter of time. So either it goes inside you and becomes a part of your practice, or it becomes a part of what you resist. That is true of other things. Let's say even like healing. There was a time every meeting, conference, bring the sick, the lame will walk. Okay, sometimes they did not walk. Actually, most times they didn't walk. But it was just a positive thing that people were saying, bring them. Let us see if they will walk. Of course, they are supposed to have more faith than that. But then, at least there was an expectation that at some stage, you know, it is going to happen. So they said the lame will walk, the blind will see, the what? And now the interesting thing is actually people came. Some people came expecting to do that, to see that. Then, as usual, as always, yeah, but how many lame people walked? None. Then eventually, you say, bring all the sick, they will be healed. Now you've downgraded a bit. At first you started high. At first you're even saying that even the dead will raise. Then eventually you downgrade and say, bring the sick. Because now that's generic. They can be suffering from flu. And then there is no, you know, obvious means of verifying if they are healed. So then eventually, the whole healing thing died away completely. And people, I'm talking about the church generically, not the church that you are familiar with. Then eventually people just move further and further and further away. Then the next thing, I remember a pastor who used to give us testimonials about how people got healed, how we prayed for people with very, very, you know, terminal ailments, and they were getting healed. And he had some testimonies, not too many, but some. And you know, he just did one to build on to that for the next and the next. Now, the next time we talked about 10 years ago, when we were talking about healing, he was telling me that, you see also these people locally with healing, you can go to hospital. Now you see he has downgraded, and there is nothing wrong with going to hospital. But you see there is something wrong with somebody's faith coming from there up to here. Because now there is no stopping it. It's going to go down and down and down, until you just go down. So now in this thing, you're either going up or going down. You're either embracing a truth, that means putting it into practice, or eventually you are going to resist it. There is no two ways about it. Now it says, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So you come listen to the truth today, listen to the truth tomorrow. Now yesterday when you listened to it, you were actually close to it. Then you go further and further away. Father and Father. That's also true of the word of salvation. Somebody hears it, you know, salvation, then they don't get saved, but you know, they are there and they are about. But the more they hear it and they don't get saved, the more distant they become. Then they become distant, distant, then eventually they say, you are a fake what? Yet the first time he heard the word of salvation, he actually was on the brink of receiving it, but just didn't take that step. Now, after that, everything starts going. Let's look at and actually, that's what the scripture says here, because it's talking about in the last days, if you start from the first verse. But let's go ahead, verse 7 again. It says, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, imagine a place where you are never able to come to the knowledge, actual knowledge of the truth, where you know it, but you are not going to ever put it in practice, no matter what happens. You can even preach it. And people who listen to you will actually might even embrace it and then go with it. And then they even become better than you. So you become like, what some friend of mine said, you become like a boat which takes people from dry land to dry land, but it's always in water. So you're just propagating truth, but none of it has affected you, and you're still the same way as you were before, and you are never able to get to the knowledge of the truth. And now people like that ultimately always become bitter, and they will find somebody to blame. Always they'll find somebody to blame, and there will always be people to blame. You know, this one did this, the other one did this, even that man of God, he thinks he's all that, blah, 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 blah. But you're going back. You're moving further and further from the truth. Praise the Lord. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Go ahead. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Now it starts from them not receiving the truth. Then eventually they go to resisting the truth. Amen? This says, men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. Now, you receive the truth, you don't embrace it. Then eventually you resist the truth. Then eventually you become disapproved concerning the faith. Or let's say concerning the truth. Now at first you didn't receive it, it was there. Then now you start resisting it, then now you are disapproved concerning it. Praise the Lord. And now the reason these things don't happen is because, let me tell you something. Hebrews 4:12. It says the word did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith by those who had it. Hebrews 4:12. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. The word which they heard did not profit them. You know, the one word I like so much in the scripture is the word profit. Because if there is no profit in what you hear, you will eventually run away from it. And now he says, because ultimately, you cannot run away from something which has profited you. Amen? If there is a business that you're doing and is producing profit, you are not going to run away from it. You are going to stick there. So now, if you hear the word, and then you hear it, and there is no profit, you don't at any stage see profit. You cannot at some stage say that when I began listening to these words, I was here, now I'm here. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. Now he's distinguishing. All of us heard the gospel at the same time. There was no different gospel for some and for the other. But it says, but the word which they heard, I would put it this way, I will paraphrase it this way. Unlike us, now the apostle saying, unlike us, for them the word which they heard did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith in those who heard it. So you receive it, but with no faith whatsoever. It is just words. It's just somebody telling what's in the Bible, and there is no faith. There is nothing that is going to, you are not going to actually go and say, now I'm going to see how this works, and I'm going to put it to the test. Praise the Lord. Scripture says, oh, test and see that the Lord is what? Good. Now, you're not going to, at any stage, say, let me see, and I'm going to put this to, you know, to test. So now, there is no faith mixed in it. So there is no profit. So eventually, they become words. What was once the word becomes words, and then because you did not receive it, eventually you resist it. And ultimately, that's how the church goes back and back and back. And I've seen people even among us here, not an ounce of faith. There is nothing they do by faith. Somebody can come, let's say, to see you, and you look at him, and he's telling you, I want this and this. And you see, God did not send us to be magicians. If I'm praying for you and there is no faith on your part, nothing is going to happen. We have to agree, you understand? Jesus says, do you believe I can do this? Then the person says, yes, I believe. Then he says, okay, you have it. Now, if the person says, let's see. I've heard that you heal people. Let's see if you can do it. For me, I'm here. I'm suffering from this. Nothing is going to happen. That's what happened in his hometown. He went there and it says he could not do many miracles there. He did not say he would not do. He said he could not. In other words, he cannot. Not he does not want to. He cannot. The scripture says he could not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. And so he comes and they look at him and there is total, complete unbelief. They say, but we know this guy. We grew up with him. So it even says that nonetheless he did some small, small miracles. He did not say big miracles. He did some small, small things. You know, perhaps just, you know, somebody who had a headache. I'm just giving an example. The Bible doesn't say that. And then left and went to where people knew about him and were ready to receive him. And now contrast that with this scripture which I like in Mark chapter 6. At the end, the last two verses of Mark chapter 6. Get them for me. He says, he then went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled. Next verse. And when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. Go ahead. And when they had come out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him. Go ahead. Ran through the whole surrounding region and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. Go ahead. Wherever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces, begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. Now these ones, we've heard about you. So they responded with faith. And they just said, he's the one. Then they ran all over the place and bring all the sick people. And all of them got healed. Now in Nazareth, where he was from, they look and say, but we know this guy. He grew up here. We know him. We know his father. What? Then he says he could not do miracles because of the unbelief. He could not. Not that he would not. Not that he got angry and decided I'm not going to know. He had no ability to do any miracle there because of the unbelief. Now, the word does not profit. You can live here without any faith in it. Praise the Lord. Now, anything that is going to be of profit, you have to actually put some faith in. And you have to know that it is faith that go back to where we are. It is faith. For indeed the gospel is preached to us as well as to them. Now, here is the separating factor. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm telling you the honest truth. I know people whom went and sat and actually the gospel was preached to us as well as to what? Them. When I heard that gospel, I was... One day I came actually to fellowship with a trouser which had chirak. Okay, it was bad. My bad. I had, of course, no car. I was struggling. I was in debt and what. But the word was preached to us as well as to what? To them. But it did not profit them because they did not mix it with faith. Now, me, of course, you don't have to, you know. I am not where I was. Because the word was mixed with faith. Now, if people don't understand that the reason people can hear something over and over again and it does not benefit them, they even become preachers of it sometimes, but they have not been, they are not, they don't look like what they preach. And they are like those boats. It's because they don't mix it with faith. And they don't know the knowledge of the truth is experiential. Praise the Lord. Now, if there is something that is not entirely true, that I have not completely experienced, I'll preach it telling you I heard this from so and so. If I'm in the process of trying to experience it. But for the most part, I tell you that this one I have tried and it has worked for me. Like the thing which I told you about God putting his value on you. Okay? I saw how it works. One, two, three, your value goes on increasing. So now, the word was preached to us as well as to them. Now, I can tell you that there are people whom I know who have not shifted an iota, an inch. Some of them had good jobs when we were there, we had no jobs. They looked like the ones who were prosperous. But you see, if you had a good job that time, if you had a job that time which pays you 5 million, you were not bad off. But now if you have a job which pays you 5 million, okay, some of you don't have it and you'd appreciate it. But the truth is, it's not what, you are not what you used to be then. Amen? There is nothing that frustrates like lack of progress. Because everything around you progresses. Prices will progress. Everything will progress. Your children will go to higher school where they, you had no children, now you have children. You had no wife, now you have a wife. Everything is progressing except you. So, and you're stunted. Now, what was your needs that time? Perhaps could fit within that kasarari. Maybe even 2 million. But now, it might not be able to. What you were that time, that time if you came to whatever and you were earning a kasarari, or five, you would be a kapo. Yeah, but now you'll not be a kapo. You'll just be one of those people. And the thing is, somebody who had no car and the Eviraka has passed you. Because the word was preached to us as well as to them, but they did not mix it with faith. There was no faith in those who had it. Praise the Lord. And you see, faith is not an easy thing. But that is the spirit that we have to manifest. Praise the Lord. Somebody is in a bad place. And then you say, just believe God. Now that sounds like you're not helping, but that's the best thing you can do. Because if they don't learn that, they are going to be, eventually, they will be off. Eventually, they will be off. Like, there is no choice. You have to learn how to believe God, especially number one with finances. For finances, that is the number one place you have to learn how to believe God. Because I don't believe anybody can believe God for something serious until they've learned how to trust Him to provide their needs. And Jesus even made it very basic and said, look at the birds. Do they be there worrying where they are going to get food? He said, now if the birds are not worried, how about you? Who are made in His image? You see, there are certain things where he, when you are in that place, he says that Jesus seems to have simplified it. And you're saying, but okay, now I know that, but I don't have what. But let me tell you, the word, if it does not produce in you faith, then it's going to, and you see, the just shall live by faith. It does not say the just will have faith for one thing and the other. Faith is a lifestyle. And if you do not learn that lifestyle, you are in serious trouble. Praise the Lord. There will be something else you do. Either you become a mufere, and I'll tell you this, the people whom we used to preach gospel with, so many of them became bafere. Why? Because you need money. There is nobody who doesn't need money in this world. So you need money, but the money is not there. So you start coming up with what? With things. The other day they told me, okay, this is sad, very sad. But one of my former pastors, who was big and what, now stays in what? In a, at the offices, the houses at church with his wife. His children are grown, but they are with his wife. And you know why he stays there? He said God told him to go and stay there. Now you see, when you become, you don't mix the word with the faith, you start making God say things which He can't say. Imagine if I was, you came and found me with my wife up there. That's where we stay. And I said, the Lord told me to come and stay here. You just look at me and say, now look at this guy. You see now, and it is sad because the word was not mixed with what? With faith. So you come and you find me, I'm up there. I'm washing clothes. And you say, eh, watchman, what happened? Nah, the Lord told me. I should leave my house and come and stay. Look at me and say, what's wrong with this guy? You see, there's that, and you see, you will actually find a what? A theology. But the word was not mixed with faith. And that's the honest truth. If you do not mix it with faith, it is there is no profit in it. Praise the Lord. Now, but if you don't, the devil also has his other way. He can, you know, handle you properly. Praise the Lord. Let's read two more scriptures. First, go to Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5. It says that, afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. Verse 2. And Pharaoh said, who is Jehovah, or who is Yahweh, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know Yahweh, nor will I let Israel go. Okay? Now, verse 3. Then he says, so they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with the pestilence or with the sword. Verse 4. Then the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people away from their work? Okay? Get back to your labor. Praise the Lord. Now, if you don't believe, if you don't add faith, the devil will say, okay, go back and labor. Work hard. 25 years from now, you'll be rich. 25 years from now, you'll have a house. Go and labor. You see, eh? Now, when he hears that God has said, go to the wilderness, he said, hey, now you're becoming idle. I have a plan for you. Go back and labor. Like, you need to, you're not supposed to have time off your work. Because you would use that time. Then read ahead and says, get back to your labor. Go ahead and see. And Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land. This is now Pharaoh speaking. This is now the devil speaking. You see, in all this exchange, Moses told God told Moses, everything you speak, it will be like I have spoken. Now, everything Pharaoh speaks is like the devil speaking. So now he says, and Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are many now, and you make them rest from their labor. Eh? You make them rest from what? Somebody say labor. Uh-huh, go ahead. So the same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, you shall no longer give the people straw to make their brick as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. Go ahead. And you shall lay on them the quarter of bricks which they made before. You shall not reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore they cry out, saying, let us go for fellowship. Amen? Because they are what? Idle. Give them overtime. Give them a boss who is going to make them work up to 10. So they don't waste our time that they are going for. Like, and you see these things sound like, but you see, okay, let more work be laid on the men, that they may labor in it, and let them not regard false words of God. This is what he's implying. Eh? Now, how does they make you not regard false words? Labor. Just give them work. They are idle. Just give them work. Let them labor in it. Now, you see, here we do not experience these things properly. But I was telling people one day at partnership meeting that there was a time I was in UK and I'd gone there briefly to do some journalistic work when I was a journalist. Now, and when I was there, I saw what it means labor. You meet somebody who was once born again, and actually one person told me that here you cannot have a single moment to even step in church. He told me in Uganda, bakumalamwe dini yona. Just by what? Labor. That's what they do. Because you're moving, you have to work for so many hours just to pay bills, just to clear bills. You're not becoming rich. No, just to clear bills. You have to clear bills for this, that. So this gentleman, I was there. So I was in another part of the UK. That's where I was covering my games from. So I told him I'm coming to London. So we went to London. And there was a wedding there of a Ugandan. So I went there. And, we had a nice time at the wedding. There, right, next to London Bridge. But the wedding, there was not a single English word which was... Not one single English word that was used. It was Luganda from beginning to end. The songs were all Luganda. The preaching was Luganda. The vows were made in Luganda. Like nothing. And you see, you could see it was deliberate, eh? That they did not want to use English. It was deliberate. They said we don't want any English here. So anyway, that was besides the point. But the point is, so this gentleman who was one of the organizers of the wedding, I was going to stay at his place somewhere. He was a Ugandan. I was going to stay at his place somewhere, out of London, near Gatwick Airport. So the wedding finished, and we got in his car, I went. So, and he has a good house there and what. So I thought, he has a good life. Then he told me, this is how he lives his life. He wakes up in the morning, he has to take his child to childcare, he has a young daughter, which is somewhere not far away. Then he drops her there. Then he has to drive, but he does not have enough money to pay for parking in the city where he works. So he has to park his car somewhere and jump on a train and go to work. Okay? Then after a train, he jumps on a train, comes back to work. Now, his daughter, he has to have picked up his daughter at 6:30. So he comes from work, and there is a specific amount of time, a specific time he has to leave work to be in time to pick his daughter. So he comes, jumps on a train, goes to where his car was, jumps on his car, goes to pick his daughter. And he told me usually he arrives between 6:20 and 6:30, just in time. Then I asked him, what happens if you arrive past 6:30? She said, no, they just leave her out there in the cold. Like, their contract with you ends at 6:30. Now, if you don't arrive at 6:30, that's your business. So they will just get your daughter, close the place, and leave her there on the veranda cold. And you find her there. And there's nowhere you're going to report because you're supposed to come at 6:30. Now, also them, the reason they are that cruel is because also them, they have to go and do other things. And they're also running on a time clock. So now, we arrive at around midnight. Home. Then they give me my car, place to sleep somewhere. You know, those, you know, those tight houses, like they are tight. It's like a dormitory. But it's good by the standards there. You see, those people deceived us that they are developed. They are not. The development is here. You see, they lied to us. Now, anyway. And you see, they make us think that we need them. They need us. You know, because one French president called François Mitterrand said that if we lose control of Africa, France will become a third world nation. Because they have nothing. All the minerals, all the what, everything is from Africa. But they're the ones giving us aid. They are lying. They don't have anything. A country like Britain, the only thing it once had was coal. Now they no longer do coal. They don't have gold, they don't have oil, they don't have what? We have all that. But somehow they are giving us aid. Like they deceived us properly. And we bought it. Imagine a country like Britain saying they are giving aid to Congo. Congo is about 100 times richer than Britain. They have nothing. They are poor. They are destitute. I'm telling you. Now, it's just that it's the church aid that is going to awaken the real us. Because these people lied to us. Like they really lied to us and we believed their lies. Anyway, so Sunday comes. You can't go to church after such a week. So the guy says, ah man, me I'll just put on TV. So he puts on TV, watches some preacher, what? Now here, if you put on TV on Sunday, if you are working a regular corporate job and say you're not going to church, it's because you've just chosen not to go. You're lazy. Amen? But there you're not. You need, like, you pay for a house, you are never there. You arrive at 8:30, leave at 6 in the morning. You pay for cable TV, you never even watch one movie or anything, nothing. You pay for it. So they just, what the devil takes away is your time. And he says these people are, you see what he's saying here? These people are a lot of time, so they are beginning to believe idle words. So give them more work. So the bills increase. And now that's what is happening there. So they tell you have to pay 30 years mortgage to own a house. Amen? Now, by the time your 30 years are up, probably the house has increased the bay, so now it's 35 years. Then by the time you finish that, you're retiring. So you finally own your house when you're 65. Amen. You're in a developed world. Praise the Lord. When you're what? 65, you finally own your house. Then at that age, you realize that it's fake. Then you want to sell your house because you're retiring. So you can get money and go and do other things, like see the world. So now, they go and sell the house to somebody who is just starting working. Let's say 25, just, you know. So he also starts another 35 years of slavery. Now for him, he goes to the bank, they give you your money for your house, which you've paid for those years. And so you can now, so you see them here. Elderly Bazungu coming to see lions and what. Like, they have to wait up to 70 to start traveling. And they told us that we are what? We are underdeveloped. Let me tell you the truth. Praise the Lord. When I learned how to mix the word with faith, there is no place in the world that I want to go and I cannot go now. Amen? When I want to go and seek the Lord, I say, I want to go here. I decided the other day, actually, I'm about to go to Rome. I want to go and see 3,000 years of history. And now, I will go there with money to spend. And I will really enjoy my time there, go and see the Colosseum, even go to Vatican, see St. Peter's Basilica, what? I don't have to wait until I'm 70 to sell my house. Praise the Lord. Now, let me tell you, if you don't believe the things of God, this is the alternative. And the devil is there waiting. You see, now, I tell you that we are in a time of, you know, ownership. And I tell you that you can actually, there is something you can do which is better than this. And you will get those things in a spiritual way. You don't have to go through the devil's way. Because, you see, he says, let them labor heavier. That let labor be heavier on the men and let them work. Now you see those people, the reason their population go down, you cannot afford to have four children. Like, four children, what are you going to do? Now that man is battling with his one daughter. Where are you going to put four children? Where are you going to get money for what? For daycare and what? So, in all those developed world, so-called developed world, the average, you know, the average number of children a woman has to have to for the population to stay stagnant is 2.1. Every woman, 2.1 babies. Now, there are so many couples there which just decide not to have babies because it's just hard work, really, really hard work. Praise the Lord. It's what? Hard work. Now, so, population is going down, down, down. So when somebody works in Switzerland, he has three children. The people around say he has a daycare. Three children. So he said that when they are directing people to his place, that you go to the other man who has a daycare because he has three children. Because nobody there has more than one child. Nobody. Now for him, he took our African habits. He's there with three children. So people are like, how can you have three children? Now you see, even hammers, you remember what the devil says, they have become many. So let's hammer them with labor. Now labor does so many things. You remember in Exodus, he even started saying that now go and kill their children. Because it affects, now you see, for the first time, by the way, this media, for the first time ever, the population of the world stopped growing. But that's also because of the COVID vaccine. People are dying very much. For the first time of the population of the world, for the first time since creation, I think, the population of the world became stagnant. And now it has started dropping. Now, those countries like Japan, the average is 2.1 children per what? For every woman. In Japan, it is like 0.7. In other words, three women give birth to two children. And it's going down and down. So my friend there told me that very soon they will be coming to us for labor. But of course they are planning also to mechanize the labor, robots and so on. So the whole thing is, but it's just, but the devil is a hard taskmaster. I'm telling you the truth. Now, these words here have got to get to your head. Let the labor be heavy on them, on the men, and let them work hard at it so that they will not pay attention to their God's lying words. Okay, go back to the King James. Okay, go to the next verse. Let them not regard false words. And the taskmasters of the people and their officers went out and spoke to the people, saying, thus says Pharaoh, thus says the devil, I will not give you a salary increase. Go ahead. Actually, we are going to cut your salary. Go get yourselves. We are giving you lunch and we are giving you transport. Now we are not going to give you lunch and transport. Eh? Go and find a way of getting lunch and transport, but we want you to work the same number of hours. I'm putting it in a way that is, you know, you can read what the Bible says. Okay, I'm paraphrasing. Go ahead. So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. Go ahead. And the taskmasters forced them to hurry, saying, fulfill your work, your daily quota, as when there was straw. Go ahead. Also, the officers of the children of Israel. Now, I want you to see this, that the officers of the children of Israel, part of the children of Israel. So this is a system of task, you know, of servitude. It comes from Pharaoh to the Egyptian taskmasters, then it goes to the Hebrew Israeli taskmasters. You see, eh? Then they are the ones now who load it on you. You don't see the person at the top. You who is looking for straw, you don't see that it's coming from the devil. You were not there when he's giving his people. He just says, tighten it, tighten it. So he tells the leaders, remove what? Do this, like this leader of ours. Make people poor. Make what? Like, so you don't see where it comes from. But it comes from the devil. So this one, in exchange for power, he has to make people poor. And so he goes about doing that. And then you have your own taskmaster there. So it comes from the devil to demons, to people like our leader here, then to work hard, you know. Then he makes people poor, then he tells them wealth creation. Kuchinika, eh? Like kuchina, eh? Like just mocking them. Hmm? Mocking people. But anyway, overturn. Also, the officers of the children of Israel, now these are the ones who, part of them, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them. Now you see this. Pharaoh sends his taskmasters send the officers of the children of Israel. We are beaten and we are asked, why have you not fulfilled your task? Now you see these people, when you get into a contract with the devil, they even beat you chivoko. Why are people still driving good cars? We sent you to make them poor. So you said, let's increase taxes, let's do what. Like, and it is not a joke. So somebody comes out. Now you see that's why they are coming for churches. They are just coming for a few people whom they think have money. Churches, people don't have money. But the devil is, you go there, they give you cheap. Oh, oh, I told you, how come people are driving Range Rovers? Eh? Lie down. Okay, so let me, I'm going to bring a religious policy. What? No, you're not. You will die. You will die. You remember what happened to the other one who was trying to bring it the other time? Hey, now you will die. You try and bring it, you will see. You will die. The times of people kujogaring the church, by the way, are over. I'm telling you the truth. You go and they beat your chibok. You're the one who entered what? That contract with the devil. And people think it's easy to serve the devil. He actually beats people chibok. So now the officers of the children of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters, okay, set over them, were beaten and were asked, why have you not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today as before? Go ahead. Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried out to Pharaoh, saying, why are you dealing thus with your servants? Go ahead. Very fast. There is no straw given to your servants, and they said to us, make bricks. And indeed your servants are beaten, but the fault is in your own people. Go ahead. But he said, you are idle, idle. Therefore you say, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Okay? Go ahead. Therefore now, go now and work, for no straw shall be given you, yet you shall deliver the quota of bricks. Go ahead. And the officers of the children of Israel saw that they were in trouble after it was said, you shall not reduce any bricks from your daily quota. Then as they came out from Pharaoh, they met Moses and Aaron, who stood there. They met Moses, who stood there to meet them. Okay, go ahead. And they said to them, let the Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us abhorrent in the sight of Pharaoh and the sight of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to kill us. Now I want to tell you this, that Moses and Aaron, when they came for meeting God at the mountain, they came to the elders of the children of Israel and told them that God has sent us, the God of your fathers has sent us to deliver you from slavery. And then they spoke to the elders, and then the elders were happy and said, finally, God has remembered us. Something good is going to happen to us. So then it says that they worshiped God, saying, oh, our God has remembered us. And then they believed Moses and Pharaoh. Sorry, and Aaron. But now when the embedder became tight and they had to work hard, then now they are saying, you have put a sword in the hand of Pharaoh. And then they are even telling Moses, let God judge you, because you are the one who is doing this. Let me tell you, you're going to get, people get angry at people who are there to deliver them, because they are in a tight, tight place. They say, let the Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us abhorrent in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to kill us. Now, there is no faith. At the beginning, Moses told them, the God of your fathers, we met him. He has told us what? Then they say, they worshipped and said, man, praise God. Finally, he has remembered us. Until things became tight. Then now they are turning on Moses. Now, that's what happens. Let me tell you. Now, that is the way of the enemy. Now, I'm going to tell you the way of God, which you are going to have to believe. And I want you to believe this. Now you know the way of Pharaoh. Eh? But let me tell you, you can wake up in the morning. Sometimes when I'm leaving here from the overnight on Thursday, and you see people who work hard, man. Like, you see people waking up, walking, going to work. People are going to work in restaurants from like 6 in the morning, and then they will leave at around 10:30, 11 in the night, and they are given a salary of 300K. By the way, man, it's tough. That's why don't never trust the system of the world, man. The person who manages it, the devil, has no desire for anybody to have any time for anything else. I remember I was speaking to some pastor, a friend of mine in Barara. There was this gentleman who was an evangelist, powerful evangelist, could preach. You know, when you are in ministry and you find somebody who can actually go on a crusade and preach, this gentleman also has that evangelistic thing. So he found somebody who could preach like him. And so they would organize crusade, and this man stands up and preaches, powerful man, and what? Then he went and took a job at a supermarket where he was paid 50K, 50,000 shillings a month. And he was working 7 days a week. So the pastor was saying, but is this how it is supposed to be? No, it is not. Now the devil has hammered you. Give them labor. Now what happened to the evangelist? Gone. He's busy giving people blue band and what? And now, like, and the devil likes those things. Then Moses went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. Go ahead. And Aaron spoke the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses. Then he did the signs in the sight of the people. Because you see, Moses had even asked them, how would they tell us? Then God gave them signs. You remember, the stick and what? So the people believed. Amen? The people did what? They did what? Until they went to a supermarket to work 7 days a week. Like, you know, it is easy to, that faith is easy to be crushed. When now, because these are the same people who met Moses and told them, now you see, may God judge you, what you're doing to us. The same people, when he went and told them, the people believed. And when they had heard, when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked on their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. Praise the Lord. Then afterwards, when they increased the work, then the children said, you Moses and Aaron, you are the ones who have messed up our lives. It is so easy for something you once believed, like, to become where you start blaming the person who has been sent to rescue you. Praise the Lord. Imagine there, you've been there in affliction, what? Then somebody comes and says, the Lord has remembered you. They say, what shows? Then you give them the signs. Then they say, wow. Then they believe. And then they bow down and worship God and say, thank you for remembering us, finally. Until now, you say, Moses, let God judge between you and us. Are you seeing the difference? Are you seeing it? Okay. Let's move ahead. So I was telling you, imagine an evangelist gone for 50,000 a month, 50K a month. So the pastor was telling me, he never, this man, I felt bad. Then he told me, unfortunately, I can't say I can definitely give him that money. That was some years, some time ago. But I felt that was, it's not right for, like a whole, this is somebody who could preach down a crusade. And, you know, but then there's the issue of money. So somebody asked the question, how then do we get money? Now, everybody, every line of ministry has a way that they can actually get prosperity. And you have to know what line you are in. Now, this is where people make mistakes so many times. Okay? Go to Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Now, it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, praise the Lord, and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered the village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. Go ahead. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did? But he, Jesus, turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. Now, this is the thing. Elijah, who called down the fire, did so by the Spirit of God. Amen? Elisha, his son, called bears to eat people who were laughing at his chiwarata. You remember? By the Spirit of who? The Spirit of God. But Jesus, by the same Spirit, says that is not the Spirit that you are of. Then he goes on to say in the next verse that because the Son of Man did not come, go to the next verse, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Praise the Lord. Now, if you are under Jesus, you have a different spirit. Although it's the same Spirit of God that Elisha had and Elijah had, isn't it? But Jesus said, now me, my spirit, is not to destroy people because they have rejected me. That's not how I operate, calling fire down and what. He says, me, I did not come to destroy men's lives. I came to save people's men's lives. Now, if you are with me, now this is John, the apostle of love, but he had cut wires. And said, it has called fire to burn them all. Like, and Jesus rebuked him and said, no, 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 that is not the spirit that you are of. Praise the Lord. You are under my ministry. Therefore, the spirit that you are of is the spirit of saving people's lives, not of destroying them. Praise the Lord. Now, even if Elijah was using the same Spirit of God that Jesus had, and Elisha, who called down bears to eat people, was using the same Spirit of God. But now Jesus says, no, that's not my operation. Now, here it is, the operation. You understand? Do you understand? Now, I remember one day somebody brought for me a book about prosperity from a top Nigerian pastor. Very prosperous man. And I'm sure there was a lot of information there that was going to be of what? That could have been of benefit. But I told the person, no, I don't want to read that book because that's not the spirit that I'm of. You understand? Do you understand? Now, the other man is a servant of God and he has the same spirit that I have. But there is different operations. Now, if you try to mix operations, you end up with nothing. Amen? Now, me, I'm of the spirit of Prophet Elvis. Now, that's what I will pursue. His way of doing things, that's why it has benefited me. I don't mix. But now this one, now the pastor so-and-so, now prophet, no, one person. I don't mix anointings. Now, the reason people do not prosper is they try to mix anointings. Now, if God places you in one place, that anointing is enough to take you from where you want to where you go. Now, I'll tell you this. Even under the same anointing of the parent ministry of ours, there are different operations. Mine is preparing the church for the end time. Others are different things. You see? There are people who come off more, prophetic and so on. Now, mine is different. But still, it's under the same what? Line of grace. Now, I want to tell you that there are so many people here who, in the zeal for knowledge is useless unless it's going to be turned into experience. That's what I say, that the word was preached to them as well, but it did not profit them. Or what I said earlier on, that you are learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Now, I tell you this, if I'd read that book, I would have learned so many things, but none of them would have benefited me. Actually, I would even have lost what I have this side. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? So, when you choose a line, go with that line. Even, let's say, even healing. Okay? There is, for instance, the way Oral Roberts used to pray for people to get healed. Healing line. Or Kenneth Hagin. Healing line. But then there was Catherine Kuhlman, who would just worship, and then people get healed. Now, when Ben Hinn comes and wants to get people, he does not go to Oral Roberts. No, he does Catherine Kuhlman because that was the spirit he was of. You understand? He copied her worship songs, everything. Even she used to put on white things, also he used to put on white things. He copied everything she used to do. Even the songs she used to like, he liked them all, everything. And then he got the same results. just singing, then sings my soul, my Savior. What? They say, hey, what's happening? This one was had arthritis, is now walks. This one what? Exactly the way Catherine Kuhlman used to do her things. Now, if you come and you have the anointing of Catherine Kuhlman and you tell people to do a healing line, because that's what you saw all Roberts doing, you'll flop. Nobody will get healed. But there are people who picked all Roberts' thing. And for them, they will do healing line and they will get healed. Or people who picked Kenneth Hagin's thing. You understand what I'm saying? Now, you stick to your line. And that's where results are. Now, don't put knowledge ahead of results. That's the biggest mistake that the church makes. They put knowledge ahead of results. Results is all that matters. Amen? I'll tell you this. I used to sometimes, because of course, that time, you know, we grew up, we were so fascinated by the miracles of Benny Hinn. Then sometimes I would tune on his teaching. Okay? And then I can't stand him teaching. That's the truth. When he would be teaching, I would be very jittery. Because he's not a teacher, you see. Eh? Like, God does not give somebody everything. And now that's where people lose it, by the way. Because you don't have a specific anointing, and yet you're preaching about something. Praise the Lord. That's why you cannot come to me and I give you marriage advice. That's not my line. Even if I had some knowledge, it has no grace. You see, eh? Whereas there are people whose grace is that they will give you even simple knowledge, but will benefit you because they have the grace. Now, for me, I know what graces I have. So if you come for me for marriage counseling, I will say, you leave me alone. That is not my thing. I know what, like, because you see people, because you might be good at one, you want to be good at everything. And that's where you mess yourself up. There's a place they called me one day to give marriage advice. They never called me back. I don't know why, but I must have misfired. But as far as I was concerned, I thought I'd hit target. But they never could. So I said, you know what? This is not my thing. Let me cheat it. I will stick to my lane. And by the way, that is so important. Stick to your what? To your lane. Because stick to the anointing that you are of. You see the way the anointing that you are of operates. And operate like that. Don't try to reinvent it. Don't try to add other things. That now, okay, this one is good, but if I add this and I add this, I will be better off. You will lose all everything. Now, thankfully, by the time they brought me that book, I was tempted to read it because this is somebody who, you know, powerful man of God. But I knew it is going to mix up my things. There's a way I'm building my things. So I would have knowledge, but I would have no results. And I would rather have results. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Never put knowledge ahead of results. That's why people stagnate. You know a lot of things, but none of them is actually functional in your life. None of them is making your life any better. But you know, I know this, I know that, but it has not helped you at all. Now that is where the church loses it. These people whom you see, who, like they know so many things. Praise the Lord. For it says, so the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Now you have to know how do we prosper here in our line? Praise the Lord. Our line is envisioning. Amen? Is what? Yeah. Now if you learn that, you'll know that's how this anointing works. Now, if there is something that I want, that I desire, I will go. I never think about money for that thing. I think about the thing. Now I'm telling you what you're going to do. Think about the thing. Let's say you want a house. So think about the house. Go look at the house. Move inside what? And do certain things. Then, envision. Be there. If the house is empty, you can even go and be there and spend 1 hour there, just looking around, seeing where you're going to put your TV, where you're going to... It might be stupid, but that's what is going to work. If you don't want that, you go and work 25 years, 35 years for your house. That one will get your house probably in 6 months, which is beyond your ability. and you own it. Now when you say 6 months, somebody says, "Hey, I wait 6 months. You want it in 6 hours? Go and get it if you can." You see, people get whatever. That the envisioning part, even in your business, you have to see what it is going to be like 5 years from now. Praise the Lord. Don't ever spend a minute without seeing what you want your life to be, like what it is you want. Next year, I'm going to be here and here and here. Don't put a time frame to it, but just imagine yourself in this place, in a certain place. Praise the Lord. And then just go and keep it in your mind. Imagine. Now, that does not cost you anything. But that's a very powerful principle. It's the same principle as planting. Because when you imagine something and plant it inside you, you're actually planting a seed. And when you put a seed in the ground, it is not your responsibility to bring that seed to come to pass. The process that brings it to come to pass, to grow and produce fruit, was put in place by God, and it does not change. Now, some of you do those things for negative. Imagine yourself this, now I'm going to be like this, negative, and it happens. You sit there and everything you're seeing about yourself is negative. And actually, you're constructing it. Now, do you know, how many of you know how to daydream? How many of you have daydreamed before? Where you're there, you're not in control of your mind, but you're just daydreaming. Now, if you can learn how to daydream positive things about yourself, man, you don't know what you're doing. Like, you're constructing. It is not idle. You're doing something. Praise the Lord. You're doing what? Something. And it is going to yield. The trouble is, so many people daydream. Like, where you're this person who messed you up, and then you have a whole conversation of fake things. Am I wrong? It's the truth. Now, if you can use that energy for positive things, like it is good, and you see, you can quarrel with somebody throughout the night when the person is somewhere sleeping or even doing what? Doing something else. Doing probably even somewhere in a disco dancing. And for you're quarreling, I would tell them this is no. Then you say this. Now say go to my need. Then I would man, and now you are messing up your soul. Eh? Like that, what you're doing is you're feeding poison to your soul. Whereas you can actually build your life. Of course, I've preached it before. That's why I'm ending with it very quickly. You can just actually build your life just like that. Okay. And I used to do, but I remember when I would choose Mondays, because I like water. So I would go to the beach on Monday, because usually there are not so many people on Monday. So I go. And they get the water without even getting a koi. Because other days you find slave queens, what? Yeah. And so I go on Monday. Some of you are laughing, but you know, Anyway, so I sit there at the water, and that sound of the water is good for me. It might not be good for you, so you choose what's good for you. Some people like to meditate to music, to some soothing music and what. Now me, I just want that sound of the water. And I be there and construct my life. And I'm not wasting my time. I be there from morning up to evening. Sometimes up to late in the night. There's a time I would even go up to 1 a.m. because the place I was in was safe. So I would sit there and be there and just the water. Then at 1, I come back home and sleep. And I've constructed. Now, if you want to go and labor like Pharaoh says, you go and labor. And there's nothing wrong with working. Of course, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that you have to add a chirungo of what you're seeing. Don't just be somebody who is there, here, here, here. Because then there is no difference between you and an unbeliever. Amen? Just know that the system of the world works on buying and selling. The system of God works on what? Sowing and reaping. So you're sowing a picture inside you. And you'll reap it at some stage. Praise the Lord. There is not a single time when I'm not sowing pictures of different places, of this, of that. I am seeing things which I want. Now, even if it took me 2 years to get my dream house that way, I'll be better than somebody in the developed world who takes 40 years. You know those people about to limba. By the way, their life is very miserable. Miserable. They live miserable lives. Imagine, like, I work like that from morning up to, then you come. Not even a time for a cappuccino. And what? But see, now I can go and sit, cross my legs, and enjoy a cappuccino, and God is good. But now that time, you don't have any time. Now, if the devil takes time, but he can mess you up. You have no time to meditate. You have no time to pray. You become ordinary. You become like totally ordinary. Somebody say, that's not my portion. Don't be ordinary. You are not called to be ordinary. Don't be that kind of person. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, if you don't take advantage of the anointing of envisioning, okay, seeing what you want, creating your world, speaking it into place. When God wanted to see this world, he imagined it, then he spoke it into being. Now, when you want to see a certain world, you imagine it and then speak it. Amen? And what? Now, if you want to learn lessons, like the lessons that change your life are never the most spectacular. I'll end with this. Usually, the simple things are the ones which make spectacular sense. Like, remember the story I told you of the timing belt? That changed my life completely. I knew that you can actually construct something from the blue. Like, you just pull it out of the sky and make it happen. I was like, so this is how easy it is. So if you can do it for something negative, you can do it for something positive. Isn't it? Number one, if I get a thought that is negative in my mind, immediately I cancel. And some people even are experts at giving that thought. I dreamt when you got an accident and you died. Now don't give thought to that. Amen? The best you can do is, if the person is a credible person, say, I cancel the spirit of accidents. I'm not going to have any accident. By the way, nothing in my life happens by accident. Okay? Everything is something I've envisioned. Nothing happens by what? So if nothing happens by accident, how can I get an accident? Have I envisioned an accident? So now just cancel it and don't give it thought. Because you can actually say, so I got a, can you imagine? Then you even repeat. So and so dreamt when I got an accident. And now I think I should be careful. And you're messing yourself up. You'll get it. So don't. But then, if I come and tell you something positive, like a new season, jump on it and be expectant and make it happen. Praise the Lord. That is the anointing that you're of. That is the spirit that you're of. Amen? Of envisioning. If you are seeing nothing now, you're wasting your life. You have to see something. 3 John verse 2 says what? I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Your soul, as I told you last time, is your what? What's in your soul? You've even forgotten. The word was not mixed with what? With faith. Mind, will, and emotions. Okay? Mind, will, and emotions. So, your soul, your mind, there are things which I'm going to start preaching here, which might seem distant, but just embrace it in your mind and start thinking about. When we preach something, it's not that because now, if I come and say this is going to happen, now I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow. I'm just saying first get that and now change your perception. Because if you are comfortable paying rent for your house and I come and say it's time for ownership, first of all, change your mind. Away from rent to what? But you're not going to own the house tomorrow. But you have to change your mind. Your mind has to go ahead of you. So that now eventually it becomes a reality. Praise the Lord. Amen? Number one, never put knowledge ahead of experience. Never. You're wasting your time, you're wasting your life. The only thing you know is the thing you've experienced. If you've not experienced it, you don't know it. You're lying yourself. Okay? So if I want to see what somebody knows, I don't listen to what they say. I see their life. I see what their life looks like. Because so this generation has produced people who know everything about how to prosper, but they don't have any money. After they have told you, and I've seen people like that, they come and tell you, oh, what, you know, these businesses. There's some guy used to come to my office there at Rosary Towers. Very good, you tell me, oh, powerful businesses that are happening in town. The other day, somebody did this, that one. Now I'm going to a meeting with Mbire. Now after this, and whatever, yeah, now give me 20K. I don't have transport to go back home. So now I listened. At first, when I didn't know him, his stories used to impress me. But then the way he ends, then I say, all along you were talking rubbish. The only thing you know is what you've experienced. Amen? I will say it again. The only thing you know is what you've experienced, or what you live, or what is a part of your life. Otherwise, it is useless knowledge. It's like knowing that an insect has a head, a thorax, and a what? Abdomen. If it is not in your life, you are studying the anatomy of a what? Of an insect. Useless knowledge, which you spend time in school getting. And now, so totu nyumiza head, thorax, and what? And abdomen. Praise the Lord. Maybe if you're a vet, we might excuse you. But even vets don't deal with those insects. But, eh? So now, any knowledge that does not translate into experience is useless knowledge. Useless. Praise the Lord. I'm repeating this because I know that the church is full of people who know things, but are far away from the experience of them. Far away from the experience of them. But they know them in their head. Praise the Lord. Say, I'm not like that. Say, not my portion. Say, not my portion. Say it again. Say it louder. Praise the Lord. I don't know how I can say this again. Don't ever put knowledge ahead of experience. Somebody who knows something this small and has experienced it is better than you who knows so many things. Because there's so many things you've not experienced, a head, thorax, and what? Abdomen. Praise the Lord. Okay, I've finished preaching. Hallelujah. Come. Now, your restoration is beginning now. Hold my hand. In the name of Jesus, your restoration begins now. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And you shall build up to where you once were, and even better than that.
Amen.
Much better than that.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Much better than that.
Amen.
And you shall be a pillar of finance.
Amen.
In the kingdom of God.
Amen.
A pillar of finance in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth.
Amen.
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 Because that's your restoration is now. It's going to begin. And it's going to begin and begin and begin. And it's going to move. And you will know that you've turned the corner. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I just want to pray for those people who are looking for jobs. Who are looking for jobs in the name of Jesus. Receive. Get jobs. I release jobs to each and everyone who is looking for them. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. So if you're that kind of person, receive it. Receive it in Jesus' name. Just pray in tongues, everybody. Thank you.
That was the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Watchman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gabba Road to connect to the anointing upon the Watchman. You can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.